Thank you, Katie Marie. It's always a pleasure. Oh, my goodness. I'm a lucky girl.
Oh, stop it, she says. Oh, the whole wide world is my home. And yesterday, if you were paying attention, was the spring equinox, the vernal equinox, equal parts day and night in terms of daylight. And we are, at least here in Texas, bursting into spring, as it were. And the whole wide world is our home. And thank you, Jan. Thank you, Aida. Thank you for the prayers and the daily word. And I just love how it does what it do. As our Jan McGowan says, I smell God. I love that. And I smell God in the fresh flowers and in the fresh air this morning, in the warm sun, but not too hot yet, which I absolutely love this kind of weather. Today I am, the title of my talk, Which Way to the Watering Hole? We are, if you've heard any of the science anywhere from, depending on who you talk to, we are, as humans, made up, and if anywhere from 60 to 70%, let's say an average of 65% water. Different organs in our bodies, our brains are primarily water, which is, I know a few people, and sometimes I felt like this, especially during the latter part of this pandemic, of feeling like I've got mushy brain, too much water in the brain, I'm not sure what it is, but what we know about water is if there's got to be a balance, just like the equinox. Too much can kill us, not enough can kill us. And so we need to pay attention to how we hydrate before we're depleted, before we're desperate. Okay? It is no different in our human bodies than it is in our spiritual bodies. We need to learn to hydrate, as it were, our spiritual bodies before we're depleted and before we're desperate. We need to know the signs. We need to recognize when we are getting not only our physical signs of, yes, we're thirsty, that's usually the indication that we're already partially dehydrated. If we are feeling tremendous thirst, we know we need to rehydrate. When we are feeling particularly stuck, perhaps, or in a swirling pattern and we can't seem to get out of it, we can't seem to move away from swirling thoughts. We can't seem to move away from kind of desert-like thoughts of feeling hopeless or barren or there is no future, right? Maybe even desperation. As I said, before we get to desperation and depletion, is looking for the signs. There was a man who the rivers were rising, and he was a very devout man. He was a very righteous man. He believed in God, and he let everybody know that often. And he found himself in a rising river, potentially ready to drown. And he started calling out, God, 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 please save me, please save me. And along the shore, there was somebody who saw him, saw his head bobbing down the river, and he's shouting, shouting, and the guy runs, and he's got his truck there. He throws him a rope. And he says, here you go. And the guy said, no, 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 God's going to save me. And the guy was like, okay, and he continues to float down the river, and off the guy goes with the rope and says, well, I can't do anything. The river's rising. So a little further down, he's, God, God, please save me. Please save me. I'm drowning. And someone is on the shore with a canoe. And he said, I'll come and get you. Hang on. I know it's rough out there. I'm going to do my best to come get it. The guy said, nope, that's okay. God's going to save me. And the guy's, well, I'm not going to get myself drowned. I'm going to paddle back and as this river keeps rising. The gentleman keeps bobbing down the river. God, God, please save me. Help me. I'm drowning. And overhead comes a helicopter because there are some other water rescues happening. And they're looking down at him, and they're dropping him a ladder, and they're waving to him. Grab the ladder, grab the ladder. He said, no, thanks. God's going to save me. And they just like, what are we going to do with this guy? And about that time, his head goes under the water, and he drowns and he dies. And when he comes to, he finds himself in heaven, and he's like, oh, well, and he's really kind of ticked off. And he goes and he meets God face to face, and he said, what's the deal? I was calling for you. I was asking for your help, and I drowned, and I died anyway, and here I am. What's the deal? And God said, I sent you a guy with a rope. I sent you a guy with a boat. I sent you a helicopter. And you refused all of those forms of me. And here you are. And oh, by the way, when your dad wanted to give you swimming lessons when you were 3, you ignored him too. Okay? So we ignore the signs because why? Because they don't show up in a form that we would prefer, that we expect. You know, we've got in our human heads, there is a certain way, think when God is helping us, there's a certain way it's supposed to look. For example, perhaps dropping a bag of gold bullion in your lap or a wallet full of money that has no ID in it. Yay, bags of money just dropping into your lap, right? The perfect, absolutely perfect mate. That person who has absolutely nothing about them that annoys you. Or perfect health. Oh, I don't need to eat well. I don't need to exercise. I don't need to drink water regularly. And we find ourselves naturally going through the aging process. Just because it doesn't show up in our stuck ego form, in the form that we would prefer, does not mean it's not coming from God. Why? Because in this teaching, what is the first thing that we say? Everything is God. There is not God and your preference for what it looks like. There is God in everything. There is God in everyone. So whatever form it shows up as, recognizing the signs, and not only recognizing them, but accepting that maybe there's some wisdom behind why it's showing up. Maybe that thing, that God thing that is so much smarter, I like to say, is so much smarter than I am, is trying to give me the next steps, the next piece of wisdom, the next solution to a problem, the next way forward to being the expression of God, of the expression of divine that I am. It's kind of nuts, isn't it? Because we have this beautiful thing that we were all so gifted with from God, by the way, was called free will and choice. I like to think of being in the flow, of being in this wonderful circulation in this relationship with God. This is the image that came to me, probably because if you were in anywhere near Texas or anywhere near the news a month ago, you heard that we had a rather extended deep freeze, and there were many people who experienced burst pipes from frozen water. So this image came to me of these pipes, and our source and supply, our unlimited source and supply, is the well. It is the water tank. It is whatever you want to call it. It's bigger than big. It's bigger than anything that we can imagine. And we have an input. We have an input, you know, through our intuition, through our imagination, through our heart, through our emotions, through our feelings, through all of our senses, because it's all God, all part of it. And that flow wants to move all the time through us. That is what it's about. That's why it's called flow. But we got this other little thing called free will, where we can say, nope, I'm going to turn off the spigot. I'm going to stop that flow because I'm going to see what happens if I do. And a lot of us, after a while, get kind of wise and say, oh, I've kind of shut off the thing. And how do I get it back open? Because I've been kind of messing with it for a while, and I'm not sure. Now it seems like it's stuck. And all of my good stopped flowing. Our biggest source of shutting off the valve, shutting the faucet off, is our unwillingness to forgive. You heard the daily word today was about forgiving. Until we can learn to do that, for others and mostly for ourselves, we stop the flow. That's one way that we stop it. The other way that we stop it is our unwillingness to be grateful for everything that we have right here and right now in this moment, which is all God. Okay? So our gratitude practice, our forgiveness practice. There were two monks on their weekly trip into town, walking down the path, the well-trod path that everybody goes down in through the forest and across a river. And as they came upon the river, across the stream, there was a young woman, kind of tiny in stature, and she looked distressed, and Brother John asked her, you know, how you look distressed. And she said, I see that, you know, we've had a heavy rain. There is, I'm not really sure about crossing this. I don't feel very safe doing it, but I need to get to town. It's market day. I have to go get supplies. So Brother John says, picks her up, carries her across the river, sets her on the other side. Brother Francis followed behind. And they went on their way, and they wished her a good day, and she went on, you know, down the road. And the two monks are walking, and Brother Francis just getting more and more, like, irritated. And you can just tell, you can feel it. He's, like, all up in his stuff. And he just keeps, like, looking at Brother John, and he's like, so Brother John very peacefully finally looks at him. He said, basically, dude, what's your problem? That was, like, monk talk. You're like, dude, what's your problem? And he looks at him and he said, Brother John, you know that part of our order, part of our rules and our vows, that we are never supposed to touch a woman. And Brother John looks at Brother Francis and said, that young woman was asking for help. She was in distress. I picked her up. I carried her across the river. I set her down on the shore. But you, Brother Francis, for the last 2 miles, have been carrying her. Let it go. Forgiveness. The signs of help from God show up in so many ways. In so many ways. Another way that we block our flow of our good is we shut that off. We refuse help. We say, nope, I got this. I got it. Really, I got it. I'm struggling. I'm drowning. And we refuse the help. I have a very old friend when I used to live in Georgia, a musician. He's a percussionist. And very, very well loved. And I remember 20-some-odd years ago when I wasn't there. I had just moved here when his daughter was born. And he would post occasionally. She would post a lot of things. And she was another musician and songwriter and artist and had a very public struggle with depression. And asked for help, didn't ask for help. And there was these occasional posts from him, from my friend, that would say, she's struggling. Can we have prayers or your thoughts or reaching out, supporting her? And a week ago, she didn't ask for help anymore. And she was 23 years old. And so his heartbreak, as you can well imagine, is just incalculable. I can't wrap my head around it. I haven't been in that community for 20 years now. And the only thing is, you know, connecting through social media, and just there's no words. And what breaks my heart about this is that I know that desperation. I know that kind of deep pain where it just feels like it would just be a whole lot easier if I could just go to sleep and not wake up. I know that many of you, and so many more that I don't know, through this pandemic and being isolated and separated and going through this collective shift of and trauma and grief and uncertainty and not knowing really what's coming next, not knowing who to trust, not knowing which scientist, which doctor, which agency, it doesn't matter. That at times can feel like a tremendous free fall. And what I know is, I was fortunate enough that there was something in me, that God thing in me, that we all have, again, God only, not God you over here, not God anybody else separate outside of this entity and this energy. It is only God, and I am grateful every single day that even when I get really stressed and really, I don't know what's coming next, I think the world's gone nuts, I think everybody except me's gone nuts, and then the other days are, I'm nuts. I have really, everybody else is sane and I'm not. I still have the gratitude. I find in my practice a moment to breathe and step back and say, thank you, God, for this life force in me that keeps me going. There is a caveat to this. It is a practice. You hear me say this all the time. That's all this is. Like anything else that you do in your life that you get really good at, it takes practice. Practicing being present to the presence of God, which is never separate from us. We are the ones that separate from it. In our minds, in our thoughts. To be able to step in and say, okay, God, today all I got is this moment, this next minute, and I know I'm taking a breath, so I must still be alive. So show me. And the next thing, the next image that comes to me is you turned off the faucet. When you turned away from meditation this morning, when you turned away from doing your gratitude practice this morning, when you let too busy to-do lists get in the way to take that 5 minutes to express gratitude, you're holding a grudge, you're still having a fight with somebody in your head, you didn't tithe this week. All of those things twist the faucet and turn off the flow. It is a practice, my dear ones. That free will thing that you choose in the darkest times, if you can find that moment of when it looks like there is absolutely no hope and you don't know what's coming next, is taking a breath. As Jan does and always does with our prayer, with the heart bowl. Find that love. And if you can't picture it in a tangible form, take a breath and for the moment, just visualize a spark. Visualize a spark somewhere in you. Because if your heart is beating, you have it. If you are breathing, you have it. If you are thinking, you have it. If you are feeling, you have it. And when you take a breath, you blow a little bit more air on that thing so that that fire can start to expand. And then you can say, okay, God, show me what's next. And here is the most important part of the practice. Do the thing. When you get that insight, when you get that next piece of information, it's like, oh, thanks. It's like saying that to the guy with the rope and the guy with the helicopter and the guy with the boat. Oh, thanks, but I don't need it. No, it's thank you, God. What's next? And when you feel like maybe not, that's not even enough, I invite you to remember that you have choice. You can choose one way or the other. You can choose to believe there is something that is on your side at all times, that is ready with that giant fire hose to fill you up with love and supply and comfort and wisdom and intelligence and fill your life. And I will say from personal experience, start practicing getting over that idea that you aren't worthy. With baby affirmations every day. If you are alive on this planet, let's go back to step one. There is only God. Step two, you are a part of God. So going, oh, not me, I'm just a little nobody here. I won't swear on camera, but it's BS. So start getting in the habit of letting yourself off the hook. And I'm going to go to that part of where I also have a lot of personal experience from way back when, which is, yeah, I'm not worthy, so my life is horrible, so just don't bother with me, but oh, pay attention to me because I'm really dramatic. Because I don't believe in myself. I'm going to say, if you're looking to attract the perfect mate, that kind of behavior does not work. You will get more drama and more until you finally wake up one day and realize, you know what? I need to find somebody who's worthy of me. And we're talking about a big stretch. But I know many of you, most of you out there have done tremendous amount of work to get to that place of finding that God spark in yourselves and nurturing it and growing it. And God is going to keep moving through that pipe. And there's going to be branches. There's going to be twists and turns. It's not all hunky-dory every single day. There are times where the pipes are going to get a little smaller and they're going to get a little bigger. And our job is to navigate, learn how to navigate the flow. How do we do that? We go back to the gratitude practice. When we can sit in the middle and recognize, like a morning like this morning that we have, absolutely stunning, and sit in the stillness and see all of the new life blossoming. Everything's this beautiful little green stuff happening. Life is in the flow, and we are in the flow, and to notice that in a single moment and let that, the awe of that, that this goes on and on and on and on, let the awe of that take your breath away. Let the awe of that fill you up with gratitude so that every time you turn around, there's something else. Oh, there's a colorful bird that I just in a flash noticed. Thank you, God. There's a light breeze. Thank you, God. And couple that with the forgiveness. Thank you, God, for the beautiful bird. Forgive the bird for maybe doing something on your car. It sounds silly, but that's the idea. It's the little things. It's the form of things that we get so attached to. We get so attached to the form, and then we're nothing but disappointed and angry and resentful and all of those things when it's like God is just sitting back going, okay, and... One of my classmates sent a meme the other day, and it was about correlation. It's about the leaps that we make in our logic, and mostly illogic. And it took me a half a second, and then I read it again. And all it said was, 100% of people who drink water die. It was like, okay. Where did we go? Where did I go? And my thinking was like, wait a minute. The conspiracy theory is, uh-oh, somebody poisoned the water. Uh-oh, somebody's doing this, something is. When the fact is, it is a fact. Do we not all drink water? Yes. If we are human, at some point in our, from birth to here, we die. So it is a true corollary that 100% of people who drink water die. Not necessarily the water that kills you, unless it's too much or not enough. That was your thing to think about this week. Brain twister. And move away from making this leap of, I'm right, this is the way it is, and somebody's messing with me. And it's like, no. Take it apart. Take apart everything that you find yourself reacting to. Taking a breath and saying, why did I just do that? Why did I just think that? Do I want to have another experience? Yes or no? You got a choice. But always go back to the heart of this teaching, the heart of the New Thought teaching. There is God and nothing else. Nothing else. Well, what about evil? What about this? What about that? What about that? It is all God and nothing else. It is our human constructs that we put all of the judgment around. We put judgments around our feelings. We can have a balance with those. We can allow the very human part of ourselves that does have and always will have emotions. They're there for a good reason. Learn to be in the flow with them. You can have the emotions without the emotions having you. And how do we do that? Gratitude. Forgiveness. That flow isn't going to stop unless we stop it. We have to know that we are good stewards. We have to practice being good stewards. Just like we practice on this hill, as we also had a busted well pipe during the freeze. We become really focused on what's important, don't we? When we are without the basics. We have to become better stewards, not only of our natural resources and especially the water on this hill, better stewards of all the gifts that we are always being given from Spirit. And how do we do that? We set a goal, a lofty goal. I have a very dear friend, and this was the first person I heard this from years and years and years ago, said, I want to know God at depth. I want to know every part of me in relation to God. I was like, wow, that is cool. I'm with her on that. And it does take work, and it's uncomfortable, and it's not always fun. But you get through the rough spots, and you get through the dark spots, and you get through the despair, because the practice is, there's always this bit of self-correction so that you're not, or we're not going from desperation to depletion and then full up and full down and full. It's finding this beautiful dance with Spirit. So I invite you as we go into meditation to just take a breath. And for our meditation, as you're getting settled and grounded and maybe breathing deeply, and if you feel so inclined, to close your eyes gently. Imagine that spark. You can put it right at the center of your chest or right in your heart space. Imagine that beautiful tone that Jan brought us earlier for the heart chakra. And as you breathe, imagine that with every in-breath and that oxygen you're bringing in, that flame gets a little bit bigger, a little bit warmer, a little bit brighter. That God fire that keeps you warm and keeps your heart beating. And imagine going into kind of taking a 360 degree view of that interior of your heart, that beautiful space where at the center is that warm flame. And all around is the sound, the gentle sound, just the gentlest little rush of water. Maybe it's the sound of rainfall. Maybe it's the sound of a very, very gentle river. A body of water that you can dip your fingertip in or maybe put your feet in to feel even more grounded. Once you're settled into that place, check in with Spirit. Check in with Spirit and say, what is mine to do today? What is one thing? What is one thing that I see in myself? One piece of good, one thing that I am proud of. And it might be something as simple as saying, I got out of bed this morning. I am proud of myself for getting out of bed this morning. For stepping outside and taking a breath. And if there's any constriction or any doubt or any thought that wants to sneak in there and say, nah, turn around, breathe into that flame. Reach out and touch the water. Because I'm here to tell you, there is a path for each one of us. There is a way. There is a purpose. You are here. We are all here to do something for each other. And even if that something for someone else is simply holding the space, that's a very, very valuable thing to do, a very needed thing. So if there is someone on your heart, in your mind, that may be having a bad day or a bad month or a bad year, allow the thought of them to come in and wrap it with love, wrap it in the warmth of that fire of God, of love. And then set an intention to reach out. And then reach out. There is a path for each one of us. There is a road that is ours and ours alone, and that we will travel with many other people throughout our lives. We will cross paths going in different directions and taking adventures and detours. There is one that has your name on it, and it is love. Period. God, period. And I invite you to let that thought be your guide today. Pull it apart. What does it mean? What does it mean that God is all there is? Ponder that. It is truly awe-inspiring to sit with that for just a moment. Set a point on the map for yourself, on your road. Maybe it's just to get through today with a smile, maybe without crying. Maybe it's to go out and enjoy this beautiful day safely with friends and loved ones. But set an intention, set a mile marker right now. And if you're feeling ambitious, set one for tomorrow as well. And then get in the habit of doing that daily. Knowing that you can always, always, always return to that beautiful chamber of your heart, surrounded by the living water that is always available to fill you, to fill all of us with everything that we need, every good thing that we need. And set the intention to be an excellent steward of that good. Because there's more where that came from. So I invite you to breathe deeply, stay in this beautiful, relaxed place. Know that you are loved unconditionally, always. Know that you are in the flow. Beautiful and loving and kind and generous and joyful, because it is. I love you dearly, my friends. Rest and relax. I'm going to do a song. Namaste.